Great.
So we'll start in the Tome of Devorah like we usually do, and then we'll get to the sources later. So we're up to the sixth attribute, the sixth Midah. And the sixth Midah is Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu. God desires Chesed. Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu, desires Chesed. So we'll see exactly what that means from God's perspective, and what that means from our perspective. So it starts, Halo Pirashnu Bimkomo. We'll get to that soon. So we, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, hello. So this is actually, we spoke about in the beginning how the Rav Moshe Cordovero is very Kabbalistic, which it hasn't been coming through so much in this first part of the Sefer. In the later parts of the Sefer, it comes through a lot more. But here we'll see a slight reference to that. First with Sefer. Pardes Rimon. So, Halo Perashnu B'Makomo. I think Pardes Rimon is a Kabbalistic sefer that he wrote. Sheyesh Beheichel Yadua. You have that book? Well, there are a number of books titled Pardes Rimon. By Cordovero. So then that's it. Exactly. So that's this. He's referencing that book right now.
There's one chapter I have bookmarked, which explains how he derives the 42 names.
Oh, really? Interesting.
All the different seraphim that it goes through.
Ah, very interesting.
It's really fascinating.
I can imagine.
I think it's the only place that exists.
Yeah? Well, I mean, I'm not familiar with Kabbalistic work, so I couldn't even begin to tell you.
He's a real Kabbalist.
Yes, certainly. Certainly.
I don't know if he devised that or if he was just explaining it.
I'm not sure. I don't have the background in Kabbalah to know, you know, in terms of historically where these things.
No place else I could ever find it.
Yeah.
Nobody else knows about it.
But then it's possible that is his. He had his own school of thought. There was Cordovarian Kabbalah, and after him came the Arizal, and that's a different. The Luriana Kabbalah. It's like a separate school, as far as I know. So either way, he says in that Sefer Pardes Rimon, we've discussed sheyesh beheichal yadua malachim memunim lekabel gemilus chasodim she'adam osa ba'ol mazak. In the heichal in Shemayim, right in the chamber room, there are angels, and it's their job to gather in to collect to receive the acts of chesed that are done by people. Ukaasher midas hadin mikatreges al Yisrael miyad osam hamalachim ma'im achesed ahu v'kadosh baruch merachim al Yisrael. Immediately, when what happens is when the prosecuting angels come to prosecute the Jewish people so that they'll be punished, immediately these angels who have just gathered in all the acts of chesed say, God, don't punish them, because look at all these acts of chesed they do. Because what does God desire more than anything else? Chafetz b'chesed. He desires acts of chesed. So Jewish people may have just sinned, but you have these angels saying, wait, but look at these acts of chesed they did, and that'll immediately put an end, put a stopper into sin. And even if it by din, by strict judgment, the Jewish people should be chayav, they're deserving of a specific punishment. Nonetheless, if they are gomle chesed, if they are people that act in loving kindness towards one another, God will have mercy on them. He won't mete out the punishment. Gmil chesedim, exactly. Gmil chesedim has this power to overcome a guilty verdict, so to speak, in Shemayim. In the time of the Korban, that it was said to the angel Gavriel, this is in Sefer Cheskel, Bo el binos begagel, ki hu sar hadin v'hagvura. Gavriel, right, comes from the word gvura, which is strict judgment. So he's the angel that administers the strict judgment. V'nos on lo rishos lekabel, Kokos hadin, benos the galgel mitachas le kruvim meisham esbeach. Tainu din gurus hamalchus. Basically, God gave him permission to act in strict judgment and eventually carry out the churban mezamidlash. V'hoyadim mechazek ad shebikesh lechalos esakol. the kaka beitzasun shel Yisrael nation is chayv a kliya. But the Jewish people at that time, at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, were so deserving of punishment that permission was going to be given to completely destroy, completely wipe out the Jewish people. Uksiv, Vayal Kruvim Tamnit Yad Adam Tachas Kanfeim. What does that obscure pasuk appear to mean? Behind you, Shamar Kadosh Baruch Hu Gavriel, Heim Gomlim Chasadim Elum Elu. You know what? Don't wipe them out. Don't wipe out Bnei Yisrael. You know why? Because you're right. They're sitting right now, but they perform acts of chesed towards one another. So even though they were really chayev, they were saved because of these acts of chesed. And I believe I brought this. If you look in source 3 on this page, so here I brought the medrash they're referring to. I brought it a little bit more in full. Amar Yehuda. The Sichnim, the Shem of Levi, Vav Shanim Hayu Osen Gachalim Omamos Biyado Shel Gavriel. For 6 years, in source 3. For 6 years, these flaming coals were in the hands of Gavriel, just waiting to destroy Yerushalayim. Sover Shishral Osen Shufa. Well, he was withholding. Really, 6 years ago, they deserved punishment, but he was hoping and waiting for them to repent. But that never happened. Came in Shalom Asu, since once they didn't repent, Bikesh Lazarkan Ulakakea Beit Sasa. He wanted to just throw down these flaming coals and wipe out the Beis HaMikdash and wipe out the Jewish people. Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, Gavriel, Gavriel. God called out. He said, Gavriel, hold on 1 second. Yesh Bahem Bnei Adam She'osim Tzedakah Eluam Elu. There are some people amongst the Jews that are acting in a righteous way from one to another. That's the pasuk we saw quoted here. What will support, what will hold up the lower world and the upper world? The tztaka, the one, gives with his hand. And God is righteous, right, up above. So what you see from this medrash, and the Talmud Gaur is pointing out, that at that time, at the time of the Churban, the Jewish people really were deserving of a much harsher punishment than just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is, more of a Tisha B'Av topic, but one aspect of Tisha B'Av is that we view the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, this has to be understood more fully, but we almost view it as an act of chesed, because Hashem took out his anger, we say, on Eitzim and Avanim. God was furious, and he chose to take that anger out not on us, rather he took it out on the building, on sticks and stones. And that was an act of chesed, because there was anger, so to speak, coming from God. There was destruction that was doomed to come to this world, and God redirected it so that it should fall upon the Beis HaMikdash and not upon the Jewish people. So, and at least according to this medrash, right, what the Talmud Dvor is bringing out here is that part of the reason for that, or the reason for that, was because chesed. Because Bnei Yisrael were holding on strong to acts of chesed. They were acting in the way of chesed, even though they were still engaged in, you know, the gimel averos chamuros, right, in idolatry, adultery, and murder. But nonetheless, since there was still an element of chesed, as opposed to, this is talking about the destruction of the first temple. In contrast, the destruction of the second temple, right, the Gemara says, was because of Sinas Chinam. Right, Sinas Chinam.
In which case it wasn't just...
There was no chesed. In that case, there was no chesed. So, right, which might have to do with... it's unclear exactly what the nature of each destruction was, but certainly the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash has had a more permanent feel in terms of the exile was significantly more permanent in the sense that we're still in it, you know, and in the first
and the siege of the city
and it could be that it was a significantly there were significantly more casualties at that time, but the point is that during the first Korban there were these acts of chesed that seem to have helped and saved Bnei Israel many times over. The Hatam, and the reason for this, because of this attribute that we're speaking now of God. Ki chafetz chesed hu. Because God, what is God chafetz? What does he desire more than anything else? Chesed. Chesed. God is one who desires chesed. Rotsi b'mash Yisrael gomim chesed. Sorry, back in the term of Devorah. Right? God desires for the Jewish people to be gomim chesed. V'yoto tzad mazkir lahem m'hiyo she'enam k'sherim b'tzad echa. And that is able to tip the scale, so to speak, in your favor. So, before we get to the next half of the chapter, which, you know, obviously speaks about the takeaway and what that means for us, and the sources, but one interesting Gemara, which may or may not be relevant. So we'll see. That's source one on the sheet. Source one on the sheet is a relatively well-known Gemara in Kiddushin. It's related to a much larger topic, which we're not going to speak about tonight, and that's the general issue of tzaddik v'ralo, right? Theodicy, which is, you know, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? So this is one of the important Gemaras that discusses that, but that's certainly well beyond the scope of what we're talking about tonight. But you know,
Kushner's got that covered for us.
They do.
Kushner.
Oh, Kushner. So that's one approach.
Some,
yes. So did anyone here read? So I recently read. Have you ever read Hal Kushner?
Never
book?
Read. No.
You ever read Hal Kushner? So his book, interestingly, is not titled "Why Bad Things Happen to Good People." It's actually titled "When Bad Things Happen to Good People," and that's with intent. Because his conclusion, which I don't think is within the realm of Orthodox Judaism, is that God can't stop bad things happening to good people.
Can't stop what?
God can't help. God's not in control. God created the world.
That's his view.
That's his view. That's not my view. That's Harold Kushner's view in his book. Right. He says God, and then he explains why religion's important and why prayer's still important, but he says, honestly, when you see a terrible tragedy, God is sad too, but God could not have stopped it. So, I mean, I'm sure Harold Kushner's a very nice guy, and I'm sure he's helped a lot of people, but I just don't think that Orthodox Judaism accepts that as one of the, but that's a, like I said, that's a topic for another night, maybe. The issue of tzaddik v'ralo. It's an unbelievable topic, and it's a very old topic. This is one of the Gemaras that discuss it. Is one or two Gemaras and Brachos that discuss it. So Chazal were well aware of the issue, to say the least. Chazal were well aware of the issue, and in fact, the issue actually predates Chazal because there it comes up in Tanakh. You know, Sefer Iyov is completely devoted to this topic, which is about 42, 43 prakim on the topic. That's one area. Chavakuk asked this question in his prophecy. So it comes up in Tanakh as well. So Jewish literature has a lot to say on it. Either way. Okay, so let's get back to our Gemara. But no, I appreciate the angel guy. I just read it, so that's what I have. There's a follow-up. An angel was called by Benjamin Blech. It's called "If God Is Good, Why Is the World So Bad?" So I mean, I'm in the middle of that, but that's, I think, certainly more orthodox approach, and also it's more sourced. In Kushner's book, there aren't a lot of sources. In this book, by Benjamin Blech, he has sources and things like that. So it's a little more helpful in terms of finding things.
I can
things.
Say something about that, but
okay. About what?
Good and bad things happen.
Well, it's either way. Let's if we want to potentially.
You probably know what I would say.
Yeah. So maybe we could definitely maybe have a share because it's very interesting. But let's see here. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin says something very interesting. What's that in source one? The Mishnah in Kiddushin. Kol ha'osem mitzvah achas meitivin lo. Anyone who does a single mitzvah, God does something good for them. And he lengthens their days. And they inherit the world. The Gemara goes on to say it means the world to come. And anyone who does not do a mitzvah, it will not be good for them. But God does not increase their days. And will not inherit the land. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Mishnah says, if you do any good deed, you do one mitzvah, good to go. The Gemara says, "Uriminhu." We have a contradiction. That's not true. Elu dvarim. This is gonna. We're gonna recognize this brisa from Shachris or similar. Elu dvarim shadamo ochel peirusein ba'olam hazav akaren kayamas lo lo lam haba. Right? These are the things that a person does, so he gets the interest, so to speak, of the mitzvahs. Oh, exactly. So the Mishnah in Peah, that's what we're quoting here, or a similar version of it. Right? But the keren, the principle of reward, that's remaining for the Olam Haba. Eluhin, kibud avaim, ugmilus chazadim, vachnasar orchim, vavat shalom ben adam l'chero, v'tamun Torah k'neg kulam. It sounds like only those five mitzvot help you, in this world at least. Right? But the implication is that other mitzvot aren't going to help you out. They're not going to help you out. So I'll review the hockey comment.
Well, right before that, the one that you said that's right before that.
The in davening.
Yeah. There are so many that, you know, it doesn't talk about.
Oh, right. That list. And, right, it means they're not included.
Right.
Exactly. So that's the exact implication the Gemara is asking from. So I'll review the hockey comment. No, this is what I meant to say. Kolo osem mitzvah achas yisera al zechu Yosef mitzivin lo. V'doma k'misha makayim kol ha-Torah kula. No, anyone who tips the scale, so to speak, when they do, let's say they're 50-50, so if you do any mitzvah that's above, you know, the 50-50 mark, then it's good for you. V'doma k'misha makayim kol ha-Torah kula. And then you're similar. So again, you might have 100 sins and 100 mitzvah, but you do one more mitzvah, that's what the Mishnah means. You tip the scale, and therefore it's as if you did the whole Torah. Michlal, the Hanach b'chadanami. But what do you mean? Then what's this brighter, what we quoted initially, those five? Kibud avaim, gmilut chasadim. So why are those better than anything else? It sounds like the five, 50-50. So any mitzvah tips the scale.
Better or different?
What?
Better or different?
Better or different than?
Or different. Maybe different than better.
Right. Okay, but it sounds like there's something unique about these that you get reward both in this world and the next world. So, but here it says, but the way the Gemara just explained this mission is that if you're 50-50, any mitzvah tips the scale. So the Gemara says, yeah. What? In terms of the 50-50.
The weighing of the scales.
Yes. So
when they did the chanut, the embalming,
uh-huh.
They would take out the organs and they would weigh it.
Oh, it's very interesting.
And see
right.
How much good this person did.
Well, the Rambam already says that 50-50 doesn't necessarily mean by number. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, you know, points out that it's quality, not quantity. So it's possible to have, you know, one sin be worse than multiple mitzvot, and it's possible to have one mitzvah be better than multiple sins. And ultimately, we don't know, right, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, right? Have a ratz le mitzvah kal kevachamura, right? We should run to a quote unquote light mitzvah, an easy mitzvah, as we run to a hard one, because we don't know the reward.
But studying Torah.
Sorry?
But studying Torah.
So studying Torah is certainly keneged kulam. You have this Mishnah. Well, that's one of the things that it's going to say right now. So
those who do one mitzvah at the very end of their life.
Yes. Kono lomo b'sha achas, the Gemara says about a few unique individuals that they were.
And even a small mitzvah, a mitzvah kala.
Yes, sometimes it's a mitzvah kala. Again, that might be because they did tshuva.
Yeah, that's part of the tshuva.
Right? Exactly. That's part of the tshuva here. So as when we're talking about this, you know, weighing of scales, I'm not sure if there's any tshuva in this scenario. So it's a slightly different.
You can't just do one mitzvah. Put a quarter in the tzedakah can or something.
Right, exactly. Also, because the Gemara says that someone who does tshuva me'ahava, zedonos na'asos kizachuyos, that one's sins become like merits. So someone does true tshuva, even if they've been terrible their whole life, they can turn that all around. So either way, how does the Gemara resolve this? Because what's the unique attribute of these five things? So, Amar Shmai, Loma Shem Ha'ita Shkula Machra'at. We won't read the next because the next gets more into the Tzalik Paralu issue, which again I don't want to divide you, but what's the resolution? The resolution is that if you have any of these five, again, Kibud Avaim, right, honoring parents, Gmilut Chasadim, Hachnasar Orchim, Havat Shalom Ben Adam L'Chairov, Talmud Torah Gmilam, which interestingly enough, Kibud Avaim I think is in its own camp, Talmud Torah is in its own camp, but I think the middle three are all Gmilut Chasadim, right? Having guests over, bringing peace between people, I think these are all elements of Gmilut Chasadim. So let's say you're 50-50, but within your 50 mitzvos, you have some of these five that'll tip the scale. Even though you're 50-50, these can tip the scale. That's the lesson of these five. So I just think that this brings out a little bit, it's not the exact same idea of Moshe Cordovero, but I think it speaks to this unique quality of Gemilus Chesed. Chesed is something that has a very strong. It's something that God values. When we were talking about quantity versus quality, so certainly the quality of Gemilus Chesed is, you see from here, great, maybe Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but Gemilus Chesed is certainly up there in terms of the quality. Right, certainly it's one of the three pillars of the world, as the Mishnah, second Mishnah of Merkabah says. And Gemilus Chesedim, right? And it sounds like they're all equal. It doesn't say, well, these are the, right, this is the big pillar and this is the small pillar. I mean, it sounds like they're equal pillars. So, yes, absolutely. There's, in the Kabbalistic sense also, Chesed grew into Pharis, but the same, right, Avram represents Chesed, which is, you know, Avram is the first of the forefathers. That's sort of, he laid the foundation, and for him to represent Chesed, definitely speaks to the fact that Chesed is such an integral part of the Torah. And in Source 4, the Gemara in Sukkah has an interesting discussion, and it's saying, well, what's better, Chesed or Tzedakah? Is it better for me to help the old lady unload the groceries from her car? Let's write a check to charity for $200.
Or someone else will help the old lady.
Let someone else help the old lady, yeah. Right? Well, or let's say I hire an aide. I say, listen, I don't have the time to help you, but here's, you know, $500, you can hire a helper, you know, a person to help you or whatever. So what's better?
Certainly if you do it yourself, it's better.
Okay, so in general we have a concept of mitzvah bo yosrim b'shlucho.
It's something that you've done.
Right. Okay. In terms of you're doing it with your body, even though the person might be shlich. So the Gemara sides with Chesed and it gives three reasons. So if you look here, Tanu Rabbanan in Source 4. B'shlosha dvarim gedola gemilus chesed miyotem min hatzdaka. In three ways, three perspectives, Chesed trumps tzedakah. Why? Tzedakah b'mamona, right? To fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah, what do you need? Money. You give money. Gemilus chasadim, bein begufo, bein b'mamona. Gemilus chasad sometimes will require you to give money, and sometimes it'll require you to give of yourself. Sometimes both. Right? Therefore, the fact that it requires more of you certainly means it's greater, and you'll receive greater reward. Tzedakah, la'aniyin. Tzedakah only exists by poor people, right? You can't give a wealthy person tzedakah, right? Even someone who's not wealthy, but someone who earns a living, right? They don't need my tzedakah. But gemilus chasadim, bein li'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. Chesed, I can do for anyone. The richest guy in the world sometimes needs a favor, right? If he's sick, I can be mevaker chole, right? I could visit him. I mean, that's chesed.
If he's dead,
well, that's actually the next way tzedakah trumps it, because tzedakah l'chayim, tzedakah only exists for living people, right? You can give it to a poor person, he has to be alive. Right? Chesed exists. There's chesed and what's called chesed shel emes, which is commonly referred to as chesed shel emes, is the burying of a deceased person. Right? That's seen as the ultimate chesed, because ultimately it's not going to come back to you. Rav Schachter likes to say, he has this written in one of his Sfarim, that the concept of chesed isn't about me just thinking, you know what, I'm going to help this guy out. I don't owe him anything, but I'm going to be a nice guy. Rav Schachter says that what chesed does is chesed means that we all owe each other. It's an intrinsic debt that we owe each other. Why? Why would the Torah obligate us in this built-in debt? Because today I'm in a position to help you, but who says tomorrow it won't be, roles won't reverse, and you'll be in a position to help me? So the Torah right off the bat says, you know what, you all owe each other. And you know what, this week you might have the means to help someone, and next week someone else might have the means to help you, and therefore it's a built-in system. So next time you do chesed, don't say, well, you know what, I'm a nice guy, I'm such a nice guy, what can I do, I'm going to help this guy out. No, it's not that I'm going to help him. The Torah says I have to help him because I owe him. You know why? Because he's going to help me one day, and you know what, maybe he won't help me, but maybe his son's going to help my son, or his grandson's going to help my grandson. Who knows where that quote-unquote debt is going to be repaid. So there's this built-in debt that exists. That's the obligation for chesed. That's what Schachter says, suggests in one of the svarim. Okay, so let's get back to the Talmud Devarim now, and see what he does in terms of, you know, bringing it back practical in the second paragraph of the Talmud Devarim. Im kein, b'midazu roi la'adam lehit nahig. So, if so, as we've been speaking about, if that's the attribute of God, that God desires chesed, and God's willing to overlook sin, if we have done chesed, so too we should act. Afim rasha adam osalo ra umachisa. Let's say I see someone does something wrong to me. They upset me. Im yesh bo tzad tova, shemeitiv la'achirim, o midatova shemenai kashura, yaspik lo tzad zel levatel kaso me'olav. V'yir tzalibo imo v'yach bo tzchesed. This person wronged me. He hit my car. I don't know what he did. He did something annoying. Right? But you know what? If I know that he's a good person, if I know that he does chesed, not necessarily to me, but I know that he brings flowers to his, you know, this old lady who lives next door to him every single weekend. He brings flowers. I know that about him. It doesn't help me out. Not going to fix the scratch on my car. But I know that he has that tzad tov in him. I should be willing to overlook the wrong he did to me. That's what God does. Right? That's what God says. We don't do chesed to God. We do chesed to each other.
You're more likely to look more favorably on people you have a good opinion of.
Yes, this is true.
Maybe
this is true.
That's part of the reward in the world here.
Ah, that's interesting, that people are going to look upon you in a certain way. It's possible. Certainly possible. But, right, but the
well,
media...
Well, not necessarily that, just that it creates good, you know, good.
Right, no, in general, like maybe, it's absolutely...
Like a ripple.
Yes. I just remember, I think a couple of years ago, there was like a Volkswagen commercial. And it was just sort of a scene on a busy street in a city. And you just saw, you know, one person picked up someone else's thing that they dropped, and you saw like one guy, this ripple effect of good deeds, you know, that one guy did the next, and then they did a rewind.
It was right after the movie.
Oh, I don't know, whatever started this was a person saw a Volkswagen, and the idea was like, well, the Volkswagen's going to make you happy and want to spread this, you know, goodwill amongst people, and that started this.
Was that the movie?
No, it was really Goodwill Hunting.
That's not the same thing. What was the one? Even though some say it's the way. You
know,
pay it back.
Oh, pay it forward. Pay it forward. Yes. That's an important movie in terms of chesed. Yes, in terms of Gmilus Chasadim. That's an unbelievable movie. Yes. I have a funny story, but we'll save it for another time. But either way, so again, so what Talmud Bar was saying is that when someone does something wrong to you, if you can recognize or find or you know about something that this person does that's good, this person might give tzedakah, this person might have someone else. Again, not to me. You have to... You make the trains run on time. It's a challenge. The answer to that, it's a challenge. But what we have to realize is that God might be doing this for us every day. God might be willing to overlook certain things we've done, and therefore we have to be willing to overlook what other people do. He should overcome his natural inclination to be angry at the person, and rather he should like the person. It's enough for me. Yeah, he scratched my car, but it's enough for me that he brings flowers to that old lady. That's enough. That he volunteers at the ark, or you know, and helps people out. Whatever. Because it is. But kosher came to ishto. Certainly, he says this something that should apply with your wife, you know, which is not the first time that we brought such an example up. But he's saying that, you know, obviously this is not a sefer about marriage or shalom bias, but certainly, you know, people who are married, they're married because they feel like their wife does, you know, brings out the best in them, and for 1,000 reasons they're married and does a lot of chesed for them, for their family, for whatever it is. So again, so one night you get home and your wife burnt dinner. So you're going to get very upset, she burned dinner. She does 1,000 acts of chesed every single day. She's raising her kids, she's et cetera, et cetera. So certainly, with your wife, you should overlook quote-unquote fault or whatever. Ki the parish Chazal, the Gemara says, Da'enu shemagadlo says, Banenu matzilos usonu menachet. The Gemara has a similar story where one of them, his wife did something that made him upset, and he says, you know what? Da'enu, it's enough that she raises my children and she saves me from sin, meaning the sin of Nida, because, you know, she purifies herself properly, so she saves us from sin.
I don't recall reading this in here, and I keep recalling having read it recently someplace, and I can't.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So Kach Yomar Al Kol Adam. So just like the Gemara uses the, you know, employs this phrase about your wife, so too a person should say about anyone. Kach Yomar Al Kol, you say about everyone. Dai li betova plonis sheasali. It's enough for me that this person is a good person. Not to me. The person might not ever be nice to me. But you know what? I know he treats his neighbor nicely. I know everyone at work seems to like him. I know, you know, I heard this really good story about him. That should be enough for us. That should be enough, and we should be willing to overlook, just as God overlooks our faults, so too we should be willing to overlook the faults of others. The last source here is actually almost a slightly different perspective. It's something that was quoted in the footnotes in this version of the Talmud Devarah. So he refers to a Svarno. The Svarno comments in one of the upcoming Parshios, 3 weeks, Parshios Bo. So, right, it says, Leil Shimurim Hu, the Torah says, right? Lotim Eretz Mitzrayim Hu, right? It's a night of watching, right? And we refer to Pesach as Leil Shimurim. There are like about 100 Minhagim. Some people leave the door unlocked. Some people do this, they do that. They do all sorts of Minhagim because we assume there's an extra level of Shemira, of watching. The literal translation is, there's an extra level of guarding, of watching going on that night. But Shomer can mean something else. Think back a couple weeks, the Parshas Vayeshev. Right, Parshas Vayeshev begins. Yosef had the dreams, right? And what does it say? It says, so the first dream he told the brothers yelled at him. The second dream he told his brothers and his father, and Yaakov yells at Yosef. But then it says one thing. V'aviv shamar es hadavar. What does that mean, shamar es hadavar? Meaning outwardly he wanted to show that he was upset at Yosef. But inwardly, shamar. He watched. He waited. He guarded that moment because he thought it was really going to happen. So V'aviv Shamar Es HaDavar means his father was waiting for it. Waiting for it to happen. So Shamar, which it's a related definition. Shmir means I'm guarding, but if I'm guarding a moment, I'm guarding a thought, I'm guarding something that I'm waiting for, I'm guarding this thought in my mind, this anticipation. So the Sforno says this is what's Leil Shimurim, the night of anticipation. God was anticipating it. We look here in source 6. God was waiting, right? Metzapa is a language that we use when it comes to Mashiach. The metzapa for Mashiach, right? We're waiting. Tzipisa li Yeshua. We waited. Kilo anamiliba of a lo matza es Yisrael muchanim uuyim legula ad osa halayla v'osa haya mishamer metzapa ki chafetz chesed hu. God mamzal shekosh baruch hu machshev mechashev esakit. So this is a slightly different perspective of the concept of Chafetz Chesed. Obviously, he's invoking that phrase, that pasuk, that terminology that the Talmud Devarah was just talking about.
Again, as it's shown in the book.
Sorry?
Waiting for the dawn.
Yes. In terms of?
Shomim.
Oh, Shomim. Okay. Shomim means you await, right? You're waiting for something. So you're God's waiting for the night. But again, this isn't, what does it mean here? God was waiting for the end, right? Ki Chafetz Chesed. Here it's not talking about our chesed. Here the Sforno is invoking in terms of God's chesed. God desires to perform acts of chesed. Right? Not that he desires us to perform acts of chesed, but that God desires chesed. Because God said there's going to be an exile for X amount of years, 400 years, right? And then however you work out the calculation from when Yaakov was born, etc., etc. And the 400 years were up. So God was waiting for this night for 400 years. He was waiting to take us out of Mitzrayim. Why? Because he desired to do acts of chesed. And I think these two halves of the coin, the Talmud Devarah and the Sforno, they really complete the picture. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about what God does. We're talking about what we do. Right? So not only does God desire our acts of chesed, but God himself desires to perform acts of chesed. You know, so this adds another dimension. Not only should we be like God and overlook other people's wrongs because they perform chesed, but we should be like God, like God as described in the Sephorno, and be willing and wait to perform, look forward to perform, look for opportunities to perform chesed. There's one great story of chesed. We'll close with this. That Rabbi Brand had mentioned in the Thanksgiving program that was here. So he said that the Beis Halevi, who's the Rav Soloveitchik that we know, so his father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's father was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father was the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Tov Soloveitchik, who the Rav Soloveitchik was named after. That's the Beis Halevi. So the Beis Halevi was giving the shiur one time, and in, or he was in the Beis Medrash, whatever, in walked a woman. It was around Pesach time. And the woman said, "Rabbi, let me ask you something. Can you perform, can you be Yotze Dalit Kosos with milk? Can you be Yotze Dalit Kosos with milk?" And the Beis Halevi looks at her and says, "No, I'm sorry, but you can't. You know, you need wine." So the Beis Halevi went to his tzedakah fund, and he took out a lot of money. Let's say wine would cost, I don't know, $20? He took out about $200 and gave it to him. I'm just making up the numbers, but just to, you know, put it in perspective. And the woman says, "Thank you very much," and she walks out. And the students say, "Rabbi, what? Why did you give her so much money? She only needed money for four cups of wine." He says, "You guys weren't listening. She asked if you could use milk for the dalad kosos. You know what that means? It means she didn't have any meat either. Because if she would have had meat for dinner, she would not have been able to drink milk for the dalad kosos." You know, sometimes you have to look for that opportunity. You have to sometimes read between the lines and find that opportunity for chesed. That's basically what he realized. She doesn't need money for wine. She needed the money for the meat too. That's what the Sforners bring out, that God looks, waits for the opportunity to do chesed, and that's something that we should attempt to emulate too. Okay, shkach.